John?
Yes. Thank you for recognizing me. I wanted to straighten out the portion about the minutes for all the board members. And this is coming from Robert's Rules of Order. When you have a committee meeting, and some of you know this already, when you have a committee meeting and you have a secretary or the chairman does the minutes, those minutes can be approved at the end of that meeting. If not at the end of the meeting, they should be approved at the next committee meeting. Now, minutes have two statuses. Either they're postponed or they're corrected. And people can make corrections. Now, if there are arguments about corrections of the minutes, then they can be voted on. But what you're going to end up with, you're going to end up with some minutes that have been corrected. And therefore, if they are all correct, then you can approve them and go on about the business of the committee meeting. Now, one other thing, Mr. Chair, I hope everybody understands about how minutes are done. Now, the other thing is about reports. And this you may not know, that when a committee does a report, if there are people that do not agree with the report, there's a such a thing called minority report. So the chair of that committee gives the majority report, the report that's coming from the majority of the members of that committee. But if they don't agree with that report, then a person can give a minority report, so that when the report comes to the LSB, the chair can get the report from the chairman. And then the chair can ask a question. Is there a minority report? And at that point, whoever was in the minority and didn't agree with that report, they can speak up. And it will be up to the LSB to accept the majority report or accept the minority report. And thank you for your time. I'm finished.
Okay. Thank you. Next, Dennis Williams.
Yeah, I would just like to suggest, along the lines of what John just said, that the in this case, the report has been approved by a majority of the committee and submitted. There is an objection that has been raised to the report. That objection is on the record in the minutes of this board and in the recording of this board. And so that dissenting opinion is on the record. I don't know that there is anything else that we need to do.
Okay. Thank you very much. Kathleen?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I think that the point here is, first of all, we don't really have a committee report. I mean, I would expect a report to look like a formal report. These are minutes, and I think the point that's being made is that there is no evidence presented for the basis of the conclusion contained in the report. So, that's it. I don't see any X minus two. I don't see any numbers. I don't see any evidence for someone who said this is what is jazz and this is what isn't, and et cetera, and et cetera. So that's, I think that's the problem, and that's the concern that Vanessa has. And as we all know, the backdrop for this is the incessant criticizing of the program director. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, Vanessa, this is your second round.
Okay, so a couple of comments. Kathleen summed up my concern. That is exactly my concern. Okay. It doesn't matter whether I was absent from the June meeting or not, because I had to work. The minutes can be read and understood, or not the minutes, the report can be read and understood. And there's nothing that qualifies the statement that there's a decrease in jazz programming. However, to qualify it, but it's not a fact. Happy to do a minority report if that's what it comes to. However, there is no process, to my knowledge, in the program committee to approve the report. The minutes are often approved at the following meeting, but the report that goes to the LSB is just sent to the LSB. So there's not, to my knowledge, an approval process. And the last thing is, in terms of the rhetoric that Craig seems to believe is appropriate to try to make his point through insults. If the chair doesn't deal with it, then I will. So that's my point of order in terms of the appropriate way to express one's point of view without trying to attack another person.
Okay. Okay, Craig, Ron, I'm sorry. I don't see your hand, Ron. You want to say something too?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead. But you need to put your hand up, sir. Follow like everybody else.
Well,
go ahead.
I don't see the feature, and so right now I'm engaged. So,
okay.
Listen, I'm just going to be blunt here, guys. You know, I'm going to be real blunt. Now, what we have here is a committee, members of a committee engaged in personal vendettas. And it's funny how this whole issue about Jazz versus whatever, you know, we had settled that issue years ago. Okay. But now all of a sudden it's an issue because somebody on the committee lost their spot. And then they duplicate that by inviting a programmer to discuss their issue about preemptions, if you're a programmer at WPFW, you know about preemptions. They happen. You know, it's no conspiracy, you know? So, but once again, they engaged in that. Okay. This committee is out of hand, guys. This committee, in my opinion, okay, and I express it, my opinion, is out of control and it's out of hand. And, you know, it's up to this board, you know, to make these responsible decisions. You know, just like what he announced on this regarding the Bill of Rights. What did he say? Well, we're going to show it to a select few people. No, you're going to show that to the entire, you're going to show that to the entire programming staff. Okay. You're not going to just make a selection about who you're going to show it to. I got issues, guys. I got issues with this committee and I got issues with the way, this whole issue has been handled to describe a board member's objections as hysterics and irrational.
Mr. Chair, I've had my hand up. This is Martha.
Okay, wait a minute, Martha. I have somebody.
Okay. I'm done. I said what I got to say, and I meant every word of it.
Okay. Craig.
No, ain't no beautiful rebuttals.
I've called on Craig Hall, Ron. Go ahead, Craig.
Is that okay with you, Ron? I mean, good Lord.
Okay, come on, y'all.
It's amazing that you want to shatter your credibility over this foolishness.
No, I'm not shattering my credibility. You're shattering yours.
First of all.
This is a point of order. Someone just
first
insulted.
Of all,
thank you. Come on, Mr. Chair. Get a hold of this.
Someone just insulted.
Did you hear what that guy just said to me?
Someone just insulted someone else. Please.
Hold on, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Hold on.
All right. Are we ready to roll?
Like I said, I'm not interested in rebuttals.
Okay.
So.
No, I've asked for muting. This is Kathleen.
Okay.
Craig Hall just insulted someone. Now, come on.
Okay. Well, what is your
again?
Okay.
Mute okay. When people insult someone else. I don't care who it is.
I didn't insult anybody.
Yes, you said.
You did insult
me. No, you didn't.
Chair, are you, someone is hollering here about muting. I know that you recognize me to speak. That's what I know.
I did recognize you to speak, but you did insult someone and we'll discuss that.
I did not insult anyone.
Okay.
Yes, you did.
Okay. You may not be aware of what you did, Craig.
All right. So, I think that what Kathleen said gets to the heart of what this is all about. And what she said was the comment about the reduction of Jazz on the programming grid is viewed by her
by Vanessa and by Ron, and actually by Vanessa to Ron and to Kathleen, who are not members of the committee, who are not in attendance, and who don't know directly what was going on, and who have never spoken to me about what's going on. So their source of information is Vanessa, and the point is that it's viewed as a criticism of Katia. Kathleen said that it was a criticism of Katia.
You're making assumptions about the source of my information.
You're muted, Arthur, but you need to take control of the meeting. Come on.
Arthur, will you unmute, please, first, and tell me who has the chair, who has the floor?
Okay. I have the floor.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm sorry. Thank you. I didn't know. I'm talking and I'm muted. Okay. What I was saying is that at this point, people want, the disagreement is because there's been a decrease in jazz, and some people are saying that that's not factual. Okay. I'm going to hear as the chairman let you know that it is factual. There has been a decrease in jazz. But it's been a decrease in jazz since 2012. Now, why is all of a sudden this is a big issue now? Because there were two more hours of subtracted from jazz. Shouldn't be a big issue. It's, remember, we're supposed to be addressing issues and not people. And it sounds like we're going back to addressing people and blaming people for what has happened. The decrease in jazz has happened since 2012. Now, we had two more hours that were taken away from jazz, but those 2 hours that were taken was already proposed to be taken over 2 years ago. So now I don't know why it's a big issue now, which it shouldn't be a big issue because it was already discussed. And if there was a problem with that, it should have been discussed 2 years ago. So we're going to move on past that. As far as the preemption concerned, if you look at this, which I think the program committee sent that out, the operations manual, preemptions, just to put this to bed, preemptions can be done at any time without prior notice. And it says that in that operations manual. So that would clear that up right there. All you have to do is look in the operations manual. The issue is, has everybody received the operations manual? Maybe, the young lady that, the programmer that's in question that brought this to the attention of the program committee, maybe she doesn't have it. And if she doesn't have it, then that is the fault of management for not sending out the, making sure that all the programmers have that operational manual, then it's just a misunderstanding because everybody should have it. So it's not the person's, the programmer's fault for saying that, hey, I don't appreciate my show being preempted without appropriate notice. Well, the operation manual says, it doesn't have to be a notice. A show can be preempted at any time. There's no time frame for a show to be preempted. As a programmer, we don't like that, but hey, that's what it is in the rules and regulations. She may not have known that, so we can put that to bed as well. So now, having said that, there has been a decrease in jazz. It's factual. It is factual, but it's been since 2012. This is 2021. I don't know why we're still talking about it because there was a minus two more hours of jazz decrease. That should not be a big issue at this point. We have bigger things and bigger fish to fry than that. Okay, I'm going to let Thomas O'Rourke and Vanessa, I'm not going to let you speak this time because you've already talked over twice. So I'm going to
I need to make a motion, Chair. I brought this issue up in order to get the minutes, the report corrected.
Okay, that's you want to make a motion? Okay,
well, I'm going to... Yes.
Okay, I'll let you make your motion, but I'm going to hear from Mr. O'Rourke first.
Okay.
I asked to speak.
Oh, I'm sorry. Marsha. Oh, wait a minute, Thomas. Marsha was first. I'm sorry. I apologize. Okay. Go ahead, Marsha.
Yeah, as a member of the program committee, I want to say that all the members of the program committee were sent an analysis of the decrease in deaths. It's verification. It's
verification.
Excuse me. I'm speaking, Ron. If you could.
I'm sorry. Forgive me. Let me mute myself.
Please. Thank you.
I said that to each committee member. It's verification that deaths has been decreased. Vanessa, I've sent it to you because I remember you have two email addresses. I put both email addresses on there. I don't understand why you can't see the analysis states that there's been a decrease in deaths. Secondly, I take offense as a program committee member with someone saying that, you know, we're just out of hand, the program committee. We're trying very hard to help WPFW. And I think we're doing it peacefully. So whoever said that, you know, we're getting out of hand, that's not true. We're trying very hard to do the right thing on a professional basis. That's all I have to say. Vanessa, if you could take time to read over the analysis that was sent about the decrease in gas.
Okay. Thank you, Marsha. Okay, go ahead on now, Mr. O'Rourke.
Oh, I will just second Martha's comments and note that the behavior we just witnessed, in which someone who had the floor was shouted down, is behavior that gets thrown around at other people all the time. You know, just pointing that out, and also reiterate the fact that two of the members that expressed criticism of the committee, who tried to abolish it last month, you know, have never been in attendance, or at least not in 5 years or so, since one of them was the chair of the program committee many, many years ago. That's all I'd say. We're doing our best. And Craig has documented, along with a report submitted from Tony Leone. I don't know why these haven't been shared with the LSB, but I suspect they have. And you know, and as Arthur, you've just, confirmed, there has been a decrease in jazz programming, for what it's worth. And, you know, if it's part of the stated mission that jazz is a Pacifica, ideal and, you know, a moral imperative, then, that, it, you know, even a small, decrease in jazz programming should be noted. And, you know, it's fine if it's a real, you know, if you want to open it up to new kinds of music, well, that should be part of this discussion. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. Vanessa?
Okay. So as Thomas just stated, the statement that, or the assertion that jazz programming is decreasing did not become an issue in the program committee until Craig lost his 2 hours. That's when it became an issue, and it started popping up in the minutes and started popping up in the program committee reports.
That's okay, Vanessa, hold it. I thought you wanted to speak.
I am. I'm making a motion. I am about to make a motion.
Okay.
And I received some sort of a document that I did review. It has one chart, not two. And I've asked for it like 3 or 4 times, most recently the last couple of days. I still don't have it. So having said that, I move that the June program committee report be modified to indicate that this alleged decrease in jazz programming, why this statement is being made. It's just made as though it's a fact. If they want to put in the chair said it's been since 2012, or the interim program committee chair says it's because of the absence of his 2 hours of jazz programming, which does not take into consideration that the new program also incorporates jazz. Okay. So it was not the loss of 2 hours, but that is my motion.
Okay. Parliamentarian, John?
Yes, sir. I'm glad you called on me.
Okay.
I'll second the motion. I'll second Vanessa's motion.
Okay, that was an interruption. But okay. I'm sorry, Kathleen, for your interruption, because the chair called on me first.
I know, but
Your interruption came after he called on me. So right. Therefore, you cannot be recognized for your second at this time, please.
Right. Okay, go ahead.
But I was glad that the chair recognized me, because the motion is not in order.
Okay.
The motion that Vanessa made is not in order. The reason is because when a report comes from the any committee, the chair has the LSB has the obligation to either accept the report, reject the report, amend the report, or tell the committee to go back and do their report over again. So the reason why the motion is out of order is because if Vanessa wants to change the report, which is the same thing as amend the report, she would have to state the amendment, and then the board would have to vote on the amendment. So thank you for recognizing me.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to...
And by the way, one other thing.
Okay.
A report coming from a committee does not need to be seconded.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Everyone, I'm going to stop right here because it's time for community comment. So everybody, if you have, you can keep your hands up, but we will continue this after we complete community comment. So now... anybody from the community that would like to speak, each person will have at least 2 minutes maximum, unless we deem it necessary. If you're talking about something that need to request additional time. So if there's anybody from the community that would like to speak at this time, you may do so. Anybody? No community wants to have any comments or questions or concerns?
Yes, we have to raise our hand.
Okay, yeah, you have to raise your hand so I can call on you. Okay. Okay, go ahead. I don't know who you are, but you're with Luke Wolf. Go ahead.
Hi, Arthur. I'm Joe Brown.
Okay, Mr. Brown, how's it going?
Yeah,
you look a little different.
Yeah, I know. I want to say hi to everybody. It's good to see everybody's healthy. It's been a while that I've spoke to y'all. Subject I want to talk about is in June, the peace vigil, the anti-nuclear peace vigil at the White House, we celebrated our 40th anniversary. So we've been manning that vigil there for 40 years, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Can you think about that? Wow. And we've lost two of our volunteers. The man who started, William Thomas, has passed away. Concepcion Picciotto passed away in 2016. So we're down to 4 volunteers. And so I'm asking the community, you know, this is a very valuable resource. We stand there, you know, and sit there, you know, every day for peace. You know, human rights violations. We support Black Lives Matter. We support Palestinian rights. And we have everybody coming up to us from every state in the union, every country in the world.
And I don't support Black Lives Matter.
Okay, everybody else, when somebody is speaking, you need to mute until you're called upon. Please don't make me repeat that again.
Thank you, Arthur.
Okay.
So anyway, what I'm asking the committee to do is, I've asked a couple times before, can anybody consider to offer support somehow with us? Any volunteers, you know, not necessarily from the committee, but maybe you have some people you know of that can volunteer, you know, some younger people, because, you know, we're a bunch of elders, you know, we're 70, 66, 56 and 60 years old down there. And, you know, we're there winter, summer, fall, you know, every day. So please help us out. Come down and visit us. It's very powerful to be right in front of the White House. We're the longest vigil in the world in the same place. It's just amazing. Thing that I've become a part of. I was a supporter, but now I'm a volunteer. So thank you for the time to speak to y'all, and please come down and see us at the Lafayette Park, okay?
Okay. Let me just ask you real quick. Do you have any information like a phone number or a link or a website we can go to if anybody wants to volunteer contact you, you know, offline here?
Yeah, well, Lou Wolf is a big volunteer with us too, you know, supporter. So you can contact Lou.
Or Filippos.
Contact me. I'll give you my phone number. Well, I'll give you my email is, JPB1950A. So that's JPB1950A@gmail.com. So I'm trying to take some of the weight off Filippos. He is our main man. He's there 80 to 100 hours a week. He's been there since June of 1981. So I don't want to let him get everything, you know, because he's already doing, he does interviews from around the world at like 3 or 4 in the morning because of the time differences. And, he's known everywhere, but contact Lou or myself. That's the best way to get in touch with us. And then I will feed the information to Filippos.
He speaks 9 languages.
He speaks 9 languages. He's, Ethiopian and Brazilian. And he's one of the most brilliant people I've ever met, my wife, and he's a perfect man to be down there in front of the White House speaking for the rights of the human beings that we have to protect every day with, you know, against human rights violations, war, and anti-nuclear weapons, right? So yeah. Thanks, Arthur, and everybody. Let me speak. Thank you.
Okay. The next person would be Sarah Brown.
Good afternoon again. I was very interested in being a candidate for the board and being kind of one of the outsiders to this whole situation. I really appreciate listening to the dialogue, and I really like the dialogue, as a matter of fact, because we do get heated when we agree to disagree sometimes. But that being said, I was very interested in Jerry's comment, and I would really like to get in touch with him. I have a radio telephone operator's license, and I would certainly like, he sounds like he's a little short-handed, and donate some time to help him out. I'm a technical person, and I would certainly like to help him out. Have you got any way I can do to talk to him?
Okay. Jerry, are you still on? Okay. I'll tell you what, if you can email me, we have an LSB website at, Kelly, help me out, somebody. I think it's lsbwpfw@gmail.
Yeah, I think I'm looking at that right now, but I don't see anywhere I can really contact you.
It is. I can give it to you. It's wpfw.lsb@gmail.com.
Okay, okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And I will forward your email.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, before Ms. Brown goes, she said she was interested in becoming a candidate. I just wanted to encourage her to make sure she has all the documentation and that we have until the 21st.
Okay.
I have the most excellent Mrs. Malafarina. Helping me put that information in, and we're doing the best we can to get it all in, pictures and everything else. So we're 95% done. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Mr. Ron Pinbeck, if you look at the agenda, we have that coming up shortly where we're going to hear from the nominees, but I wanted to hear from the community first, and we'll get right into that. Okay. Are there any more people from the community that wish to say anything? Any concerns, questions? Okay. Well, we will go into, we have some nominees for the LSB, and, I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Claire, who is our local elections supervisor. Are you there, Claire?
I'm there, Chair. Thank you, Arthur. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for inviting us and sharing this time with you. Our delegate elections are underway. It is now, the deadline was pushed from July 14th today to July 21st. That's going to be the deadline. Currently we have about 25 candidates right now. We have 3 staff and 4 nominators, who've been extremely, extremely engaged with the radio station. It's wonderful to listen to everybody's stories and read their questionnaires and their petitions. It's been wonderful. Arthur has been gracious enough to allow me to invite them into this meeting to advocate for themselves and discuss their profile of things that they'd like to bring to the radio station, and to advocate for a nomination signature from you. There is an electionspacifica.org page where you can actually see all the profiles of all the candidates. I can email that to you as well after this call, so you can review. We have a very, very strong base, and I'd like to turn it over to them now and to Arthur. And
okay, well, do you want to share that list of the? Do you want to share it on the screen, the nominees?
Hold on. Let me see if I can. I'm challenged.
No, that's okay. No, I have already sent it to. to John Tatum, who can put it up, can share it on the screen with the board before we go forward.
Actually, I don't know if he can pull it up from the website. I think the file that I sent you is the actual profile page, just to show where people could vote.
Okay.
You can share that if you want.
Okay. Can
That's
you get
fine.
Up, John? Oh, excuse me. Can you get the document up, John?
Yeah, hold on 1 second. You sent me, two things.
Yes.
They were pictures, right?
And they were JPEG files, yeah.
They're JPEG files. Okay, that's gonna be tough, but.
And I sent you a chart too where it showed you the nominees.
Okay, I'll see if I can see that. The picture came up kind of blurry.
Ooh. That's cool.
Is this, okay, this is,
Yeah, that's gonna be hard to read. Wow.
Yeah, that's going to be hard to read. And even if I zoom in, you know, if the original is blurry, then if I zoom in, it's going to be even blurrier.
Can I ask, do you have the ability to get on the internet and go to electionspecifica.org?
Yes, I do, but that's going to take some time.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, let's see, it would take about 3 or 4 minutes. Let me just show this one. And let me show the next one, which it may be a little bit clearer. Let me see if I can do that.
Okay. Because I was going to say, if you can work on that, we can go ahead and start hearing from the nominees while you're working on that, John.
I would prefer if you go through the nominees, because this is what the nominees need to fill out. I prefer that they have the ability to advocate for themselves today.
Okay.
And then we can share the link after that shows where everyone's names are, and you can actually go into their profiles.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. So are any of the nominees want to speak at this time?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
You got to specify them, amount of time.
I did. Two minutes. It's on the agenda. It's on the agenda.
I'm just remind those.
Okay. 2 minutes per person. Okay.
And can I ask a question of the election supervisor?
Sure.
Yeah. Yes, go ahead.
I'd just like to know how many bona fide candidates we currently have for the listeners or for the staff.
Bona fide candidates overall, we have 22 candidates. Listener candidates, we have 22.
WPFW.
We have 3 staff. And we have 4 listener member nominators. That's what we have.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Do you want me to?
Yes.
I know who they are. Sarah, would you like to talk?
Yeah, I'd like to tell you that this is a great honor, this opportunity to join the board of WPFW. Is a very precious jewel in the stream of radio that's on the air. It's a place where people have always been able to say things that weren't necessarily the politically correct or had various differing opinions from what you'd normally hear on radio. A lot of times it's not polite, and that's exactly the way people talk and should be heard. And I really want to preserve that. I'd like to say that I want to preserve the right of talented people to express their passions and points of view with enthusiasm, whether they agree with the popularly accepted beliefs or not. And I'd like to offer to WPFW my talents as a person that's had a radio telephone operator's license for about 40, 50 years. And, I mean, we lose track after a while, you know. Anyway, so, I would like to bring that, and I would like to bring that to a position on the board of a person that would get their hands dirty, actually go from the boardroom to the radio, to the transmitter, and into the bowels of where the electronics flows, And it's sort of selfish on my part because I really would like to get engaged again in the technical aspects of a radio station. I love the talent. I love the jazz. So this is like a win-win for me. And again, I've always supported WFPW, but from afar and listened kind of from afar. And I never want to lose this gem that we have in the airways.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate
Absolutely.
That. Okay.
Thank you, Sarah. Roz Minkins, would you like to speak? Ah, there it is.
Hello, everyone. My name is Roz Minkins. I'm a native of Washington, D.C., right here in River City. Born in Georgetown University Hospital. Excuse my voice. I've been on the phones pretty much most of the day. But I have a background from Towson University, and my background is in media. I also started my own marketing and promotions company several years ago. Shut that down now, but I have a background in doing marketing and promotions for various groups. I had worked with Gil Scott Heron, also the recently passed Paul Mooney for his album Race. I worked with Toni Braxton, Erica Badu, and various other artists in promoting them and getting them on the map in the D.C. metropolitan area. So I'm very proud of those accomplishments. But one of the things, I have a background in media, working with radio, and also doing fundraisers, just making people aware that WPFW is out here and still exists, and to be able to carry it from one generation, from the boomer generation, which I'm not, into Gen X. I'm a Gen Xer. So I think that's necessary to be on the board in order to make that transition from what others maybe wanting to hear and listen to, and to keep your ear to the ground, just like I did with my company, Periscope Entertainment. One of the things too, I think that we need to find ways to tap into people's heart and soul, like Sarah had mentioned earlier, and to be able to get them to be able to come out and support something that is going to support them. I've always seen the WPFW as something that's the anti-corporate station, even when we were coming up. WPFW was always available and tapping into what's going on in the community, and I think it needs to remain so. We need to find out ways to get people to plug back in or to plug in more, and not just by listening, but also with support as far as money. Okay? That's it. Anybody have any questions? I'm on that sheet. My name is Roslyn Mickens, and if you can sign my sheet, I'd appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much.
Chair, this is Jerry. I'd like to respond very quickly, if I may. This is a very important community comment session. May
I? Quick, sir. Make it quick. Go ahead.
Okay. First to Sarah. I'd like to give you my direct email address, and it's for anybody that's on this meeting. My direct email is jerryparis@gmail.com. I'm an early adopter, so it's just my name, jerryparis@gmail.com. Second, I'd like to respond to Joe Brown's comment about WPFW and about their vigil at the White House. Joe, WPFW, I was literally on the board, on air, when Connie passed away. I called the other news, I called the desks at all the other major news organizations. I called NBC desk, ABC desk, CBS desk. They all have a phenomenon in the industry that we call the 22s. They hire 22-year-olds to monitor the desks because they can pay them $22,000 a year, work them 22 hours a day, and they know nothing about the history of DC and the vigils. So nobody could respond when I told them that Connie had passed away. So we broke the news that she passed away on our air before CNN, before CBS, ABC. None of them carried it. Fortunately, Amy Goodman listened to our broadcast and she carried it. Last comment was to Roslyn and the other person. Sarah, if you have FCC ticket, by all means, to do reach out to me at my email address. I don't know who the gentleman was who commented that also has an FCC ticket. JerryParis@gmail.com is where you reach me at. We could use your services, most definitely. We are desperately shorthanded. We are looking for people that we can pass the baton to. I'm 66. Preferably, we're looking for younger folks that we can pass the baton to, but you have qualifications that we're interested in. Thank you very much. I'm out.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Chair?
Yes.
This is related to Jerry and the candidates. Because we have 22 candidates, and I'm sure 22 are not going to be here tonight.
No, I don't think it's no more.
No, we only, I think there's like four or five.
Five, right, yes.
Okay, my point is this, that, you know, and Jerry, I want you to hear this, that we need to we're going to find a way to get those candidates, some exposure, all the candidates some exposure, you know, over the next few weeks, so that our listeners will know who y'all are. So it won't just be in this LSB meeting. And Jerry, we'd be glad to work with you to create some kind of forum for these candidates somehow. And, that's all I want to say.
Yes. The listeners need to know. Yes. The listeners need to know who you are. I agree.
Okay. Well, the purpose of this is just in case, because I think if I'm not, correct me if I'm wrong, Claire, they need some electronic signatures.
That's correct.
As soon as possible. So they're soliciting the board for some electronic signatures. So that's what they're doing right now.
That's
complete the process.
That's correct. As of now, the average candidate has 8 signatures. They need 15 to actually be complete. Right. So we'd appreciate you visiting visiting the election page here with all the nominees, clicking into their names and reading their profiles and sharing your support. We also have one more candidate on here. I think we lost a couple. Ms. Minerva Sanders. Would she be able to speak?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Ms. Sanders, go ahead. You're muted.
Minerva?
Minerva, unmute your, we can't hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes. Go ahead.
Yes, this was an interesting time. But the meeting tonight let me know that definitely this is something that I would like to do and be considered for. WPFW, I've been listening now. I had to go back and figure it up 21 years. I'm not Washingtonian, but I enjoy good music and good conversation. So basically, I'll tell everyone, and it's in my write-up, I ran across WPFW one morning at 2 a.m., and it just happened to be on a Saturday morning, and that was Rope Flanagan. So WPFW became my weekend station to listen to. Through the week, I'm listening to CDs, anything else, because I was tired of the other information out there, music. So basically, after doing that for a while, I started listening to the station and found this is where I need to be. And I can tell you, WPFW is on at my home 24/7. My sons come in and say, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm listening. So you guys be quiet. Let me enjoy. And I do call in. I've spoken to Arthur McLeod and others. I've ran into Jerry at different events. And how did I find out about these events? They were announced on WPFW. And these were things that I wanted to do. I volunteered, and I also have a background in telecommunications. I have worked with AT&T technology for 20 plus years, doing something different now, but I understand how phone systems work. I designed them. and the first phone system, taking them off of Centrex for the Library of Congress, White House, and those places, those are designs that I put together. Not help, but I put together with help. And every time they cut over, they were great. So I understand the statement about the issue, and I've dealt with it when I've come there to for the fund drives and tried to assist where I can. I see that one key thing that is needed is you have to train people. You can't just throw them in there and stick them at a phone and say, do this. So, you know, so there are different things that need to be done to help people become comfortable and be ready to do what needs to be done at WPFW. And I want to be part of that team. One of the ending of my short comment is that WPFW, I feel, is the best kept secret in the DC metro area. I talk to people that have told me they lived here all their life. And when I mention the station, they don't know what I'm talking about. But once they start listening, everyone hits me back and says, thank you. And they may have heard some of the music, but they just didn't tie the two together. So basically, I'm not going to go on and on because I could, but I'm asking that you look at my information. I don't have it all in there yet, but please consider assisting me in getting my number of 15 so I can be part of your board. And I can tell you, I believe that when you have boards and you don't have different of opinions and you don't have people who think differently than you do, then you're just not going to make any progress. Because we all have, as I said, all of us have opinions. But how can we come to a happy medium and take my opinion, your opinion, and our energy and make WPFW great? So I'll be quiet. You guys, thank you for giving me the time.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, do we have any more nominees that would like to speak at this time?
Speak now before I vote. There's Max. Yeah, Max. Oh, sorry, Arthur.
That's okay.
Hello. My name is Max Myrick. I am a listener and a fan of the radio station. I've been listening to it for about 21 years. In fact, it was the first station I heard in Washington, D.C. when I moved out here from Chicago back in 2000. I'm a broadcaster myself, or sort of semi-retired now, but I've run radio stations across the country in Atlanta and New York, Chicago, here in Washington, D.C., I ran WHUR for about 4 years. I'm one of the original people at XM Satellite Radio. I created the Real Jazz Channel over there. And currently I run a HD4 station for the city of Washington, D.C. called dcradio.gov. So I think I have a little bit of experience, about 45 years of it, that I could put to use, and I would like to, if you're interested, become a member of your board. If you think that I can add something, please, give me your signature. I'd love to be a part of it and help in any way I can, because I'm just a big fan of the station. I like the music. I like the programming. I've worked with quite a few of the personalities there and hosts there. I work with Arthur at HUR. I work with Willard Jenkins and Ida Campbell and Dr. Nick and Bill Wax and on and on and on. So, you know, I just like the station, and that's why I expressed an interest. So if you think that I have something to offer, vote for me. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Max. Okay, do we have any more of nominees that would like to say something at this time? Okay, Clara, you can close it out and we can move on if there's anything else you want to add on.
Just wanted to thank everybody, the entire LSB board. Also, I want to give Martha a special thanks for helping me and guiding me with some information she gave me very early on when I came on board. Also Vincent and you, Arthur, thank you again. And that's it. And we will be ending the nominations next Wednesday on the 21st. So you'll be getting emails.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Question. I have a question.
Oh, you have a, I'm sorry. You have a question. Aileen, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry if you already said this, but is there a limit to how many people we can, whose candidacy we can sign for?
No. Okay. There's not. Good question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Chair, does anybody have any more questions for yes. Claire? Yes. Okay, Vanessa?
And this probably has been said, but I just need to know, how do we find their petitions? Where are they?
They are located at the elections.pacifica.org homepage.
Okay.
And on the left-hand side, you'll see a menu, and it'll say candidate nominate a candidate, and you click on there. And it's going to show all the Pacifica stations. You're just going to scroll down, and WPFW is on the bottom, and you'll see all of our candidates.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Anything else?
That link, Claire, that link that you, is that in that email that you sent me?
No, but I will send you,
I'll send it out to the board.
Thank you so much.
To access. Okay. Any more questions for Claire before we move on? Okay. That's it for community comment. Thank you very much, Claire. You're welcome to stick around if you'd like.
Thank you, Arthur.
Okay. Okay. We're going back to, let me see, people that had their hands up. Okay, Craig, Paul.
Okay. So I would like to be able to speak, and we're not going to have any resolution or understanding unless I can. A lot of things have been said repeatedly over and over again that I've never responded to. The idea about the issue of jazz shouldn't be a big deal about the station. And I think, I believe, it's my opinion, that one of the reasons that this issue is being made into a big deal, and I will say misconstrued, is because of what Kathleen said, which is that it's viewed as a criticism of Katia. And I just want to say that this is not a criticism of Katia. This is about WPFW. It's also been said that this issue about jazz programming is some kind of a personal issue with me, since the show I hosted was cut, and then now it's some kind of a problem. The fact is that I've never asked Katia to be on the air during that period of time. I've never said to a single soul on the LSB and the program committee, Katia, or my family or friends, that I want to be back on the air on Friday nights. I did that show at great sacrifice, financially and time-wise, you know, for a long period of time. And it's not true. I've never said that I want to be back on the air or using my position in the program committee to somehow get something for myself. WPFW can't do anything for me. The other thing is, the programmer that was invited to the meeting was not invited by me to the meeting. And I don't think that the program committee should somehow have a ban on programmers who want to talk to us. The other issue is, the program Bill of Rights has gone out to some programmers for feedback. The idea that it should go out to all programmers is something that I haven't heard anybody refute, or an idea that anybody has resisted. That would be great. It was my thought that the LSB would actually do that. Send it out to everybody. So I think, I would hope, and you know, it's just my hope, that Vanessa, Ron, and Kathleen would stop interpreting the issue of jazz programming as something that is a criticism of CATIA or an attack on CATIA, because it isn't. What is going on is, the fact is that there was a time when CATIA was not the program director, and there will be a time in the future when CATIA is not the program director. So currently Rusty Hassan and Willa Jenkins are the only two shows in that strip that is jazz programming. All the other programming in that strip is not jazz. And when a new program director comes along, if they use the programming rationale that they've been trained and taught to follow, then those two shows could be up for the chopping block, because they don't make sense in that slot, seeing as they're the only two shows in the week that are jazz. So this isn't about me. This isn't about the show that I hosted on behalf of WPFW, not for myself. This is, and the question that I raise is only that,
the chair,
you know, that we, look at, in fact, it was just a question. Do we even want to look at this issue? So what I don't want to hear anymore is people who don't know what they're talking about, who have, don't have any direct knowledge or information, who have never spoken to me, telling everybody what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. I'm going to tell you right now that I have never asked to be back on the air on Friday. Never.
Okay.
And I never will, because that was a great sacrifice to myself that I did that.
Okay, great. That's
all right.
Cause you about to repeat yourself like I do.
Yeah. All right. That's it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Craig. The next person is, who's not 919? Is that Ellen? Who's end up with 7919? Okay. Going once.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to respond.
Okay.
This is Sarah.
Okay, Ellen.
I'm a community member.
Oh, that's a community number? Okay, Dennis. Okay. We passed on 7919. Anyway, next person is Dennis Williams.
Yeah, I'd just like to make two quick points that will help to reinforce the special rules of conduct, and those are simply, first, that if you can hear another voice, do not speak, and the second is keep other people's names out your mouth. We can be passionate without being rude. Please. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Next one is Donna. Donna Grimes.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. I just want to say this. To set the record straight regarding the programming committee, this issue that we've been discussing tonight predates Craig and predates CATIA being selected as a programming director. In fact, it was raised about 5 years ago by Cliff Smith. Now, Marty was on the committee at the time. Thomas O'Rourke was on the committee at the time. We discussed it. We brought it to the LSB. The LSB told us it was okay for the programming committee to continue to explore this issue of the balance between news programming, public affairs programming, and music, jazz or music programming. And we have been discussing this for at least 5 years. So I want to be very clear, as Craig said, this had nothing to do with him, and this had nothing to do, this is not an attack on CATIA. It is the reality that we looked at. We looked at statistics, not just one chart, but we looked at statistics over the years. As Arthur mentioned, since 2012, this question has surfaced. And we were just questioning, is this in line with the mission? And you know, it's a programming issue. So it's very relevant to what the programming committee is doing. And I'm going to just, the last thing I want to say is the LSB gave the committee a permission to continue to explore this specific issue of the balance between jazz programming, music programming, news and public affairs. We even brought the question to the LSB about whether we should have news programming, some of it on the weekends when people could watch more. So it's a live issue, and we will continue to discuss, and we are definitely not out of order, and this is not anybody's personal vendetta. Thank you.
Okay. Vanessa and Sarah, you cannot speak.
My hand's up. Oh, okay. My hand is up.
Okay. Go ahead, Rohan. I'll let you go and then Vanessa.
Vanessa was before me.
Okay. Well, I can't tell because you ain't got your hand up.
I can't figure out the feature, so okay. I'm raising my hand.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay. So the whole issue, the reason I'm bringing this up is Kathleen summarized it. It's about setting the record straight. It matters what we say. It matters what's in writing. That's a living permanent record, both in terms of the minutes, committee minutes, and the report that goes to the LSB. That's what this whole issue is about. That's what this whole exercise is about. So in terms of it, you know, oh yeah, this has been, you know, this issue of decrease in jazz programming has been coming up for the last 5 years before Craig, who's the new interim chair, before Katia. It resurfaced suddenly, recently, the very next program committee meeting after Craig's program was replaced. Now, I know this. Craig wants to say, don't say you haven't talked to me. Craig and I talked for 3.5 hours on the night that his show was canceled. 3.5 hours. And he was angry and he was hurt. And then we exchanged about maybe more than a dozen text messages about this issue. So I sent those to Dennis. I know what I'm talking about in terms of the genesis of this resurgence of putting in the written record that there's a decrease in jazz programming. Because as Thomas said earlier, the connection that's being made is that it violates the mission and vision of the station. That's the connection that's being made. So I don't know what happened before. All I know is what's going on right now. It's also been connected as a program or bill of rights issue. That's what Craig said the next program committee meeting after his show was canceled. He came to the meeting. There was a guest at that meeting. And he made it a programmer. It's like he had been violated. His right as a programmer had been violated, although he had been told 1.5 years prior that that show was going to be replaced with a show that, you know, is hosted by women. And so what I want to do at this point, so not insulting anybody, I talked to Craig because I liked the show. I asked Katia, why did you cancel it? I liked it. She sent me emails and emails and emails of responses, educating me about the new show that was coming. I listened to that. It includes jazz also, and I like it also. So what I'd like to do is to make a motion to amend the June program committee report. I put it in the chat since the parliamentarian says I need to specify what the amendment is. It's in the chat, and I also sent an email to everyone. So the specific language that I propose is that the program committee chair asserted that there has been a decrease in jazz programming due to the replacement of the 2-hour program formerly hosted by the chair on Friday nights. That is my motion.
The chair, the parliamentarian would like to speak.
Oh, no.
Okay, go ahead, John.
Okay. Ahead, John. All right, thank you. Now, when you're amending something, please tell me what the existing current language is and what the new language is, and it must be seconded.
Okay. Okay, they'll put that in the document when they present it.
Exactly.
We don't have to do it at this time.
I second the motion.
Okay. Okay. Do we need to vote on this now, or we can't vote on it now because we don't have the language yet. So we'll reschedule it for the next meeting.
Oh Lord.
Well, we don't have the language.
Okay. I've been on committees and boards where people just sent whatever. If this is there's a new rule, so fine. I will submit it with the change, and show
how we change the old. Stop the meeting right now and read your email.
No. No, I sent the email during community comment. I put it in the chat.
Okay.
And I also sent an email.
But that means everybody would still have to stop and go to the email and read it right now.
It's a sentence. It's literally
one sentence.
Yeah, and I just read it. I just read it, and I'm happy to reread it.
Okay, go ahead. Say it again.
Okay.
What is the current sentence that you're replacing?
We need to know the other sentence, too.
That's the new rule. I've been in committees where it doesn't
matter. That's not a new rule. That comes from Robert's Rules of Order, the 11th edition, and also the 12th edition.
And we can keep talking about this thing for another month.
Okay,
on the August agenda.
The current sentence and the proposed change, that's what we need here.
Right.
Okay.
And it makes it easy. If it's just one sentence, give us the sentence that's there. Give us what you want to change that sentence to.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
That's not a new rule, by the way, Mr. Chair. That's not a new rule.
Yeah. Okay. I know it's not a new rule. Okay.